today we're coming from Mark chapter 12. And it reads, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbors as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question him." The topic, as you see on the back of your program, is that not far from is not close enough. Not far from is not close enough. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power in your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as I stand here to preach this message. I pray that, Lord, you just minister to me first, Father. And I pray that you open the ears and hearts of those listening to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Not far from is not close enough. I am a baseball fan, especially when it comes World Series time. The World Series is going on right now. My favorite baseball team is playing. They are the Boston Red Sox. They have been my favorite team ever since I grew up in southern New Hampshire, a few miles away from Boston. And as I look at my relationship with the Red Sox, there have been times where they have been not far from winning the World Series. But not far from is not close enough. As a boy in 1967, I was excited as they got close, but they did not win. In 1986, I got excited again because they came oh so close to winning the last game. But there was an error in the last inning that let the other team go ahead and win, and they won the next game and won the series. In 1975, again, I was disappointed. They got into the World Series. I watched the games. I had my hat on. I was ready to celebrate. But I was always reminded that not far from is not close enough. It wasn't until 2004 when they were in the World Series again. And by that time, I tried not to get my hopes up, because I have been disappointed so many times, like so many fans. Those of you who are fans of any teams, you know what I'm talking about. You get hyped up, you get ready. You think this is it, and something happens. Whether it's football, to see somebody fumble on the last play of the game, see somebody else carry it 99 yards the other direction. Whatever your sport is, whether it's basketball, you see a collapse in the fourth quarter. We always see that happen. And we kind of condition ourselves sometimes and not expect them to win. So in 2004, when they played in the World Series, I had conditioned myself. I had conditioned my heart to not be upset if they or when they lost. And lo and behold, they won the World Series. In my lifetime, my team won the World series. They also had titles in 2007, 2013, and now they're in the World Series now. Friday night, I was watching their game. I turned to the game, and in some games, I'm busy, so some games I turned to it, you know, in the final innings, you know, like the seventh inning, you know, no, I got three more innings to watch, and I'll turn to it. If it's a blowout, I'll turn away, but if it's close, I'll stay on it. So I turned to it, and it was tied up, and I said, I'm going to watch the rest of this game. It should wrap up around 11:30, and I can go to bed. That game weighed 18 innings, and I was foolish enough to watch it for 17 innings. I went to bed around 3 o'clock in the morning saying, this is foolishness. They're going to lose. Sure enough, the next day I found out yesterday that they lost. But not, they were not far from winning that game. They were so close to winning that game. But again, not far from is not close enough. How many times have you watched a game and you see somebody hit the ball and it barely goes foul? It was almost a home run. But not far from is not close enough. How many times have you seen the field goal kicker try to win the game on a field goal?
Tell it.
And it goes up and the players get excited. And they start cheering. And it veers off. And you don't see the referees raise their hands. Not far from. It's not close enough. My brothers and sisters, this is so much of what life is all about.
Tell it.
And our relationship with Jesus Christ, not far from being saved, is not close enough.
That's right.
We have Jesus teaching in Mark chapter 12. Mark wrote this gospel to the citizens of Rome, and he wanted to emphasize certain points in this gospel that Jesus is the Son of God, about being a disciple of Christ, about the end times. It touches on that. And starting in chapter 11, Jesus addresses some of the corrupt practices that interrupts pure religion. Pure religion. And our text deals with people who think that they are close to the kingdom of God, but they're not close enough to get into the kingdom of God. You know, we like to live with high hopes. If I get just close to somebody, if I get close to something, that might just be enough to get me in. We hang with our friends when we try to get into those exclusive parties. We think that being close enough will get us in, only to be denied at the door.
Tell it.
Not far from is not close enough. Is not close enough. Now these Pharisees and these scribes, they were trying to catch Jesus in some type of incriminating statement that would allow them to justify getting rid of him. So time after time, whether it was about the resurrection or something else, they addressed these questions to Jesus with a mindset of tricking him into saying something that they could frame him with. He knew what was going on. But in this text today, I want to share with you three reasons why the religious leaders or the Pharisees, why they were close to the kingdom of God, but they weren't close enough. And I'm going to share those 3 points with you now because I might forget them later on. Amen? Number one, close because of their knowledge of God's word. They thought they were close because of their knowledge of God's word. Number two, they thought they were close because of their love for God. Close for their love for God. And number three, they thought they were close because of their love for their neighbor. Three reasons that they thought they were doing the right thing and thought they were close to the kingdom. But in reality, they were far from the kingdom. In verse 12, the thought is close because of knowledge of God's word. Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? The scribes were the teachers of the law. The scribes were the educated ones. The scribes were the ones who could write and read and research, and they were the ones who transcribed the Bibles. Remember, there was no printing press back in those days, no Xerox machines. So each Bible was handwritten, hand copied from another one. It was a scribe's job to do that. And along the way, they learned a little bit of knowledge. So they came, and he knew the answer to the question, but he asked to see what Jesus would say. You know what? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We think we're doing things for the right reasons. But in reality, we're doing them for the wrong reason. We're doing them to pump ourselves up. We're doing them to show how smart we are. We're doing them just to see if we can trick somebody else. Which is the first commandment of them all. They thought they were close to the kingdom of God based on knowledge. Based on knowledge, they thought they were close because they knew that he had answered all of the previous questions well, because they knew the correct answers. They were smart. But they weren't saved.
That's right.
They had the book knowledge. They had the intellect. But they weren't saved. We will find people from time to time who think because they know, have a little knowledge of God's word.
Come on.
Because they can quote scripture to you without cracking open a book or looking at an app. They will think that that equates holiness. But I dare say that the opposite is true. You just showing what you know. But can you articulate what you know? And can you live what you know? They thought they were close because they had knowledge of God's word. Verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all, the commandment says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yes.
This comes from the Shema, which is was the Jewish confession of faith, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. They recited this every morning. And they recited this every evening. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Tell it.
Jesus said, this is the first commandment. Which leads to the second point I want to lift up. They thought they were close because of their love for God. Because of their devotion to God, because they cared enough about their relationship with God to get up every morning and recite this, and every night recite this. They love God because he is Lord. They loved God. But yet they did not love Christ.
Come on.
Being close is not close enough. They ignored Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Yes, they proclaim their love for God. But for various reasons, they could not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. There were different reasons why they could not accept Jesus Christ. See, they had their own preconceived notion how the Son of God would come, how the great Savior would come.
That's right.
First of all, they were looking for somebody to deliver them from the oppressor, which was Rome at that time. Rome pretty much ruled the world at that time. They had to pay tribute, taxes to Rome, to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire imposed their will upon the nations of Israel and Judah. They were looking for relief of that. They wanted a conquering hero to come. They wanted somebody who would come in looking like a king, with the power of a king. But yet here comes this humble man from Nazareth in Galilee. Here comes this humble man that comes from a low means. Here comes this humble man who chooses to walk with sinners. Here comes this humble man who teaches everyone who comes to him. Here comes this humble man who chooses to heal those who are less fortunate. Here comes this humble man who does not cater to royalty. Here comes this humble man. They surely thought, this is not our Savior. This is not the way the Savior of the Jews is going to come. We are looking in another direction. But if they were so smart, all they had to do was go back and look at the criteria they used for their first king, Saul. Back in Samuel, the people wanted a king like everybody else had. And they looked around and saw this handsome young man, this dignified young man. They said, that's the kind of king we want like everybody else has. How did that work out? Next thing you know, David is anointed to be the next king.
That's right.
Nobody would have chosen him in a lineup. As a matter of fact, Samuel didn't even choose him. Lord, is this the one? This is the one? Oh, no, that's that little runt over there. I don't think he can qualify. But David grew up to be the greatest king of Israel. Don't you know Moses did not come with power when he led God's children out of Egypt? What do we really look at when we're looking for a Savior? That is a question that we can address at another time. But these learned individuals, these scribes, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, these influential people, could not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They could not believe, Lord, don't do this to us. This can't be the one. But if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, then you have to believe that the Lord's going to send the right person at the right time. So these folks thought that they could catch Jesus. They thought that they knew more than Jesus. They thought that they could disprove Jesus. You know, we live at a time when, as Timothy 4:3 says, that we have itching ears, willing to listen to every wind of doctrine that comes our way, listening to all the philosophies that come around. And so many of my brothers and sisters are moving in the wrong direction because they're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Preach, 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 Pastor.
and can't believe that Jesus is the way. We like to use our senses. If I can't taste it, if I can't touch it, if I can't smell it, if I can't hear it, if I can't see it, then it cannot be real. It cannot be good. But through the love of Jesus, you can see things a different way. You can see things not as you would see them, not as man sees them. But you see them as they are. Whereas some saw Jesus as that vagabond teacher. As that person who collected folks along the way. Who had the gift of healing. And was able to share some good word. They did not believe that he was the Savior. They were not far from reaching their goal. But they were not close enough.
That's right.
Because of our love for God, we are not far from the kingdom of God. Let's look at the next point. They thought they were close because of their love for their neighbor. Verse 31. And the second is like this. The second commandment is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That comes from Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes. I am the Lord, as it says in Leviticus 19, verse 18. So the scribe in verse 32 of Mark 12, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. Some translations might say master, but it means the same thing. Well said, teacher. You see what he's doing? He's putting Jesus in the same area of other learned people. Instead of recognizing Jesus for who he really is, he's equating them to everybody else who has a little bit of knowledge, who can share scripture without cracking open the book. Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. What he's saying, I commend you, teacher. I commend you, man of lowly means. I don't know how you were able to teach like this, but you are right. And you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So he's critiquing Jesus. He's critiquing the answer. And he's telling him, yes, you are right. You have correctly answered the question. Ding, ding, ding. You win a prize. He's telling me you have answered the right way. That is what we believe. And all of this, and to love one's neighbor as yourself, is more important than the sacrifices we make, than the burnt offerings that we make. This scribe, although he acknowledged that Christ was right, he showed that he was receptive to the teachings of Christ. I believe his heart was in the right place. But then look at verse 34. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, when he saw that the scribe gave the right answer, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him any more. I got to believe that whoever had the next question thought carefully about asking that question. They said, wait a minute, we done challenged this man long enough and he has answered all of our questions correctly. Now I better not ask my question anymore. They were quiet. They had challenged him. But he answered, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus told him, although you're headed in the right direction, he was far from the kingdom of God because he had not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and the Son of God. You know, there are so many illustrations in life that I can share with you about being not far from is not close enough. You know, we got fancy cars these days that let us know with a ding when we have a little bit of gas left. Amen?
Yeah.
We can show how far we can go with a little bit of gas we have left in our tank. But you know, we can be not far from the gas station and still not make it.
Great.
Because not far from is not close enough. Earlier this week, as a matter of fact, last Sunday, I left for my fall mini sabbatical in the mountains. And, you know, I go up there for relaxation. I go up there to enjoy the wildlife. I go up there to enjoy the landscape. I go up there to get away from it all, because where I go, usually there is no phone reception, and I can have the area to myself. But you know something, when you're in the woods like that, every corner looks the same. You can be close to where you want to be, but you can be far away from it unless you know exactly where you're going. You can get up there, think you're going to use your GPS, but you will realize quickly that you don't have a signal. My brothers and sisters, what do we do when we don't have a signal? How do we know that when we're close enough? How do we know when we've reached our goal? When we don't have the technology that we have grown so dependent on. And when you ask somebody, I'm trying to get to this location, where is it? They don't give you exact directions. But you go up a bit, about 2 miles. And then you hang left on the dirt road. Mind you, didn't tell you that there was two others before you got there. Then you go up and you take another right. And then you see a broken down barn. You're close to it. But unless you have exact directions and follow the exact directions, you're not going to get to your goal. Being close enough, not far from it, is not close enough. As an educator, every year I have a student come plead to me. I got close. Can you just nudge that up to a B? Can I do some extra credit? I say, could you have done a little more studying? A little more preparing? Not far from is not close enough. Going to bet by youthfulness in baseball. And I will close with this. We had a big boy on our team. Now, we were sixth graders. And this boy was bigger than everybody else. And he hit the ball one time. And he rolled all the way to the fence. And he rounded first. And we were cheering. Go on. And he rounded second. And we were cheering. Go on. And as he approached third base, the third base coach waved them on, said, keep on going. Now, by this time, the center fielder had retrieved the ball by the fence and had thrown it to the shortstop. And the shortstop was throwing the ball to home plate. Now, as my teammate, as he was running towards home plate, he saw that it was going to be close. So he said, I'm going to slide. Now, he slid in time to beat the throw. Uh-huh. However, once the dust cleared up, we saw that he didn't hit the bag. He was about a foot away from home plate. He was not far from, but it was not close enough for him to get in to home. My brothers and sisters, just like the baseball game, you might get to first base based on knowledge. You might get to second base based on your love of God. You might get to third base by being good and loving to your neighbor. But you can't go home with the Father unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All other efforts will find you short. You might have in the record books that you got on base this many times. You might have in the record books that you got this many doubles. You might have in the record books that you advanced runners. You might things documented in the record book. But one thing you will not see, you will not see that you reached home plate unless you tag home plate. I know we got friends who think they're close, but they're far from. They seek all the philosophies in the world. They want to hedge their bets. I want to touch base on each religion I can find because one of them might save me. But I'm going to tell you that there is only one that can save you, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, who so loved the world, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, the one who went to his death and was resurrected for our sins. Jesus, the one whose blood was shed for us on the cross. Jesus, the one who is with the Father right now. Jesus, the one in John 14 said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you can come one day. Jesus is the answer.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
We can think we're close, and we can think that's good enough. Anybody who's played horseshoes can be close, but that's not close enough. Jesus is the home plate.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is the home plate. We get all excited once we round second. I can tell you from experience, round third, you get all excited. I even saw a player one time fall down, tripping over third base, and he didn't get in to home because he was so excited just to be at third base. We need to be happy, but we need to be happier when we reach home. We need to be happier when we know the Lord for ourselves. We can be happier when we've accepted him as our Savior. We can be happier. We can be safe, we can be sealed, and we are secured in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is when we have reached home. God bless you. Not far from. Not far from is not close enough. Amen. Amen.